Okay, we are on. And welcome back after a vacation. We are continuing with the story, and today is, I think, the main point of the story. In Masechet Shabbat, Daf Nun Gimel Amud Bet, where Rav Kook, let's just go through the Gemara quickly. Okay. Can everybody please turn off their speakers?
Mute all.
Here we go. We will mute all. There we go. Seder. Okay. Tanu Rabbanan. Our rabbis teach. Ma'aseh bechad shmeita ishto v'nicha ben linak. A man, his wife, passed away, and she was a nursing mother. And he didn't have any money to pay the wet nurse. And he had a miracle, and his chest developed, and he was able to miraculously nurse the child. Amar of Yosef, this is the first approach. See how great this person is, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu shenasa lo nes kazeh, that God changed the laws of nature for this guy. He doesn't do it for me. He doesn't do it for most people. So this guy must really be a great, righteous person. Amar leo Abaye, and this is the surprising approach, adraba, to the contrary, kama garua adamze shenishtanu lo sidre bereshit. How bad is this guy that Hashem had to change the laws of nature just for him? Right? As if it were, he's making God work hard. But we know that Hashem doesn't have to work hard. And Hashem could have saved the show and solved the problem any way he wanted to. And so there are a lot of questions here. And the major question is both sides of the coin. If God wants the world to run according to the laws of nature, so why did he invent miracles? And if sometimes he makes miracles, I guess that infers that the laws of nature are not always the best way. And here we see, in this difference of opinion, we see both sides of the coin. And obviously, everybody, I've actually heard this from people, a non-religious person said, well, if God would do a supernatural miracle, I would believe in him. And the question is, so why doesn't Hashem do supernatural miracles anymore? And a lot has been written on this topic, and it's a good opportunity to let Rav Kook, he has five or six interesting points on the issue. So that's question number one. What are both sides, the advantages of nature and the advantages of miracles? Question number two, Rav Kook has an interesting diuk that the Gemara says twice, Ish ze, this man. That there must be something particular about this guy that is connected with both opinions, whether it was good or bad. So let's see Rav Kook. Source number two. This is Perek Hei, Piska Gimel. Hayachdut shel ish miyuchad shebo davka yaaseh hanes. Here, you could tell right away what Rav Kook is deducing. He said, this person must be special. Because both opinions, whether you say that it's, wow, this guy is great, that God did a miracle for him, or to the opposite, how bad is this guy that God had to change the laws for him, they are dealing with somebody who is out of the ordinary. Okay? Af al pi shebevaday hanes kechol pu'ula mekusheret im klalut ha-metziut, just like any miracle that God does for the klal, for the population en masse, for the masses, right? When God did supernatural miracles in the Torah, it was because we needed them at the time, and the world needs them, the Christians need them, the Muslims need them. There needed to be a period of supernatural miracles. Yesh lo tachlit klali mesudar ve'aruch. Here Rav Kook is paraphrasing the Maharal, who says that even miracles, yesh seder banisim. there is an order to when God changes the order. Mm-hmm. Everything is figured out. Mikol makom, hayachdut ha'ishit vaday yesh ima dvarim miyuchadim. Usually when God makes a supernatural miracle, it is for Am Yisrael, for the nation of Israel, for the world. So if God changes laws of nature for this Ploni Almoni, this particular person, apparently there is something unique here. V'chasher yeshna manashim ktanim. When we see that there are small people who are not historical figures, she'en tipus haklal nikar bem kol ikar, right? This guy is not going to be, we don't even know his name. He's not going to go down into history. And here Rav Kook is mentioning parenthetically that you may have come across somebody who has had a miracle, and he did not seem like a historical figure. And that is one of the questions that we're dealing with here. V'heim einam klal ru'uyim shetachul al yadam uvahem pu'ulat hanes. Right? So here Rav Kook is mentioning parenthetically, when does God usually do supernatural miracles on a historical level? When history needs it, when God wanted to split the Red Sea or to reveal himself at Mount Sinai, right? So that's the norm for miracles. Again, the Maharal says there is a norm for miracles. Shebo bolet inyana klali, because the masses are historically motivated miracles have that collective reason. Rak bal nefesh gedola sheyesh la erech klali ra'uy liyot nasabo. Shekoach haklaliut umigale et hatzorech b'shinui seder hakavua utmidi. So that would infer, as a proof to the opinion of Rav Yosef, the first opinion that says, wow, this guy must have been really somebody special, that God made a supernatural miracle for him. Omnam, as we've learned before, the most important word in the writings of Rav Kook, especially in Einaya, is omnam. On the other hand, as we've seen many times, Rav Kook writes about the thesis and the antithesis or antithesis, and then the synthesis, to synthesize both aspects. So there's an advantage of miracles, there's an advantage of nature, and now our topic is how to synthesize the two. When? Okay? Paragraph Bet. Omnam. Im kol gdula shebanefesh. Word omnam means however, right? On the other hand, with all of the greatness of the soul, Alenu lizkor tamid she'avat ha'teva ha'mesudar v'chino ha'pnimi hi yesod mosad la'chokhma. Wisdom is based on nature. There is prophets, for example, who have supernatural conversations with God, but that is supernatural. On the other hand, the chachamim, not the nevi'im, the wise people, they build themselves, mishnah after mishnah, gemara, another daf, another chapter. They build themselves over decades of hard work, and that is the way that God created the world. And as Rav Kook has said many times, God does make mistakes. And if he wants the norm to be natural, then obviously that is what we should love. That is the klal, okay? L'sichak dosha b'chod Eloa uli yosher livav. For straight people. Maybe I'll already jump to source number 7, where Rav Kook talks about the advantages of the supernatural and the natural. Okay? And here, in Orot HaKodesh, Chelek Aleph, page 271, Rav Kook talks about hanivuah, prophecy, which is supernatural. Hiba leprakim, it comes sometimes. In other words, it is the, not the rule, it is the exception. Binvuat hanaviim shel hadorot, the prophets, with all the importance of Moshe Rabbeinu, of Isaiah, all these prophets, they were obviously great people, but it is the exception. Chutz mi nevuato shel Adon HaNeviim Moshe Rabbeinu alav ha-shalom, aside from Moshe, who could speak to Hashem anytime he wanted to. But natural prophecy is something very rare, even for the prophet himself, which is just stressing the importance of nature, as opposed to the prophecy, even for the prophets. Okay? Bizman hofata mitgalei becholos aruchaniyut. When a person, a prophet, would get prophecy, it would come and it would shake his nature. We know from the story of Shaul, King Saul, who one time he got prophecy and he started shaking and shivering and going crazy, and people said, hey, what's happening to him? Hagam Shaul Banavim, right? You cannot mistake prophecy for epilepsy or something like that. It is an out of the ordinary occurrence. So that the prophet, his body did not function when he was having prophecy. Moshe Rabbeinu, remember, for 40 days he didn't eat, he didn't drink, he didn't sleep. So what Rav Kook is saying is, if God created the world that we are supposed to eat and drink and work, etc., that means the prophecy is not natural. That is not the way that how God wants the world to function.
Doesn't mean it's not the ideal.
Oh, so that's what we're going to talk about. What is the advantage of prophecy and what is the advantage of nature? Okay? So the answer is both. Yeah. There is an ideal.
But we should strive to it.
Yeah. It is an ideal when it's given, and it's not the ideal when it's not given. Mm-hmm. That's a classical Rav Kook answer. Yeah. In other words, yes. Omnam, bisiluka, when prophecy is taken away, i.e. for the last 2,500 years, nisharu rishamim aruchaniyim atzurim banefesh, ru'uyim l'sader al yadam hanaga brura l'chol alichot ha'chayim ha'yoter tovim. There was a need at the beginning of Jewish history for there to be prophecy, and that prophecy set the tone, it shot the arrow, gave us the directions of Torah morality and godliness, etc., etc. So obviously at the beginning of Jewish history, there was a need for supernatural miracles and also for prophecy. The two go together. On the other hand, hachachamim tchunatam acheret. The wise people, they have a different quality. And this should already ring a bell. The Gemara Baba Batra, I think, is Daf Yud Bet, which says, Chacham Adif Minavi. The Danshei Knesset Agdola, Rav Kook explains, we learned this together in Ikve Hatzon, that even where the prophets did not succeed, they did not succeed in uprooting paganism. Chazal in Danshei Knesset Agdola, in the time of the second Beit HaMikdash, they succeeded where the prophets did not. So that even though the wise people, the rabbis, do not seem, like he says, according to Rambam, they're on a lower level, but they succeeded where the prophets did not. And Chazal say they are greater than the prophets. Okay? So when? Hachachamim tchunatam acheret. Hofa haruchanit eina ba me'olam lidei itgabrut elyonad kedei arisot ha-seder ha-chomri. As opposed to prophecy, wisdom does not ruin the world. It does not change the laws of nature. You don't lose control of your bodily functions. And again, God is perfect. He created the world. So obviously that is the ideal, to function in that natural building. What is the advantage of nature? It is constant. There's an interesting klal that anybody who knows halacha, it should ring a bell. Let's jump for a second to source number 3. That I remember even when I learned this in elementary school, the Gemara in Masechet Brachot, Daf Nun Aleph, says, Birkata yayin tadira, ubirkata yom ina tadira, tadir v'sheino tadir, tadir kodem. Right, we know that when you say Havdalah, first make Borei Pri Agafen. When you say Kiddush, Yak Nahaz, on the night of holiday, first you say Borei Pri Agafen first. Now, out of all of the brachot of Yak Nahaz, there are a lot of brachot there, I think the most boring bracha is the Borei Pri Agafen. Why is it, quote-unquote, boring? Because we do it all the time. And Chazal are telling us, Davka, that is the strength. When on Shabbat, Yom Tov, we had recently, you say in benching, in Berkat HaMazon, you say Ritzevach Litzenu before you say Yalev Yavo, because Tadir Mesheino Tadir, that which is more common, is better. And that's the exact opposite of what most people think. Most people think that something is special, right? Absence makes the heart grow fonder, and you make a shechiyano on new fruits, etc., etc., and a newlywed couple, they're madly in love. Judaism says that the longer you are in a relationship with a person, that is a much deeper relationship, because it's day in, it's day out. It's year in, it's year out. Tamidim kisidram. The korban tamid is the first sacrifice in the morning and the last sacrifice at night. In other words, either way you look at it, this idea of kviyut, of having a set, learning daf yomi, to learn a page of Talmud every day, to learn a halacha every day. I suggest to my students, even those who don't know Hebrew, I have questions and answers you can find on the internet and ask the rabbi. I think we have 2,000 short questions and short answers. And even if you're in the middle of a busy project, before you go to sleep, you go in for 1 minute. You don't have 1 minute to, just like you brush your teeth, spend 1 minute a day, see a quick question, see a quick answer. Odds are pretty good, it's a question that you thought about yourself. And, you know, why not? This idea of the power of kviyut. How do you say kviyut?
Constancy.
Constancy, consistency, right? Machleshet yeta koach hachomri vachiyuni b'midah yedua u'meirat ora sichli v'musari b'shiur mimutza. What awakens a person as a person, what builds a person as a person, is the consistency. Right, you can have a supernatural miracle, but that's not going to necessarily even make you religious. If you were to ask me what was the greatest miracle, I know from telling my children and grandchildren Friday night stories, the story that, you know, Mamad Har Sinai, Mount Sinai, that's like too miraculous. They can't associate with that. But the story of Eliyahu on the Har Carmel,
yeah.
You know, where, you know, you build a altar, I'll build an altar. You choose a bull, I'll choose a bull. Let's have a duel. You know, that's a good metach. How do you say?
Thriller.
A thriller, thriller. A suspense, yeah, yeah. Right? And then, what happens at the end? Fire comes down from heaven and lights Eliyahu's Mizbeach, and everybody bows down. Hashemu Elokim, Hashem Elokim. God is the, He is the real God. Our Lord, He is the real God. And the very next chapter, they're back worshiping idols. Hey, what happened? And the answer is, easy in, easy out. Right, some people, they have like a, they're saved in a very out of the ordinary way, and they become balei tshuva and overnight, and just like they came overnight, so they lose it overnight, right?
So
kamuvan sheyesh bazeh tzad ilui gamken mipnei hashimush hameshutav shel hakoach hasichli vanafshi. Here's another advantage of the slow but natural building, where we are partners with Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you could ask, He didn't need man at all. Why did He need man? And the answer is, Hashem wanted to have man to have what to give us. God altruistically wants to have someone to give to. Not that He needs it, but He wants to give. And the greatest gift is to enable us to be godly. How can we be godly? By being independent. Now, if God is banging us over the head, left and right, with supernatural miracles like He did in the desert for 40 years, we did not have free will. So we were not independent. Now, that's good, as we've said many times, just like the micro, so to the macro. And just like the child, you don't give him too much free will because he's going to do dangerous things. He doesn't even know how to cross the street, right? But little by little, you give him independence. And then he learns how to make decisions, and he learns to say no when he's toilet trained, and he gets to adolescence when he is stronger and has more independence, and he gets a driver's license, and then he's married and he makes money, and all of life is a constant becoming more and more godly, which is becoming more and more independent. Okay? So God wants us to be Asher Bara Elohim La'asot. God wants man to be a partner with him, and that is how he enables us to be, as if it were like him, to be godly. So that's another advantage of the laws of nature. Koach ha-sichli va-ha-nafshi, when everything is logical. If something is a prophecy or supernatural and is not natural, so that's often like what happened in the story of Elijah in the Mount Carmel that we just said, you look back and say, hey, was that real? Huh. Maybe I was imagining it. Maybe it was a one-time coincidence. Maybe God was alive and well at one point, but I don't see him today.
It was a trick.
Right. So this is what's called avat luya badavar. Your love of God is dependent on his tricks. It's like a magic trick. And I brought the source number 4, the famous Mishnah Mesechet Avot. Kol avashi tluya badavar, batel davar batla ava. Love which is based on a certain thing, if that factor gets lost, say if a person is attracted to a woman just because of her physical pleasure, and then all of a sudden she's 20 years older and she's not as attractive as she was before, so then your relationship is finished. That is avatu yabadavar. That is not real love. That is love for beauty, not love for this person. Right? And the same thing, if your love for God depends on his magic, then that is not love for God. That is love for magic. So go see Harry Houdini. You can probably find him on Wiki, on YouTube. I don't know, I never thought of that. But even, you know, his real name was Bernie Schwartz, you know? Is he related? Okay, mipnei efsharut tadirut, and not only is there these advantages of nature, another advantage is that it is beheseg yadenu, it is nagish, how do you say?
It's available.
If my belief in God is available, you know, every time I learn Rav Kook, every time I learn Maharal, learn it, build yourself, grow. You know, even learn the prophecies, learn Jewish history, learn about the miracles that used to be. So that way I'm internalizing it and making use of those miracles which are there for that purpose. Right? They were there not just for that generation, but even for later generations. If you want to know, can God do this? Yes, he can. He can do anything. And we saw that he did do it. Aval, and here's the other famous word in Rav Kook, here's the other side of the coin. Chaser bo oto ha'oz. Prophecy and supernatural miracles, you can't deny they are strong. It's a lot stronger, right? Yeah, it's a one punch, right? Ve'alfa'a brura megala et omitz Elohim, right? To reveal the strength of God umegadelet et shelton shel hatov v'hakodesh shel hakibbutz hachevruti, right? To reveal God to man, that's what we need, and needed supernatural miracles. On the other hand, in a day-to-day life, building ourselves, that is better. Back to our paragraph. So, again, we saw in Pisca Bet, where Rav Kook says that we should love nature. And this person, Al Kain, right, in paragraph bet, Alken, mitziyut ha-nisim huchricha lavo, the necessity for a supernatural miracle to come, huchricha lavo mitzad oto ha-ma'amad ha-lakui she-nimtza b'bnei Adam. This is the opinion of Abaye, where if in the first paragraph he explained the advantage of Rav Yosef, how great is this person? He must have been somebody, a real tzaddik, and he deserved a supernatural miracle. Abai says, no. All right, God could have had a wet nurse knock on this guy's door and say, listen, I have too much milk, and I'm just looking for someone to help me, you know, get rid of it, and I'll give it to you for free. You know, that's much easier, much more natural. God could have done it that way. Shemitzad, so apparently this guy, his emunah, his belief in Hashem, is not that strong. And if God has to change the laws of nature, Shemitzad etzem tivam ayunotim el kol mashu neged asechol veifuch hayosher. This guy wants to live in a world that is illogical and is not the way that God made it. Paragraph Gimel. Alken im tzvichim adracha kazot. These people who need supernatural miracles, they are basically need to destroy the world of God. And that, you know, could not be good. Right? God does not make mistakes. But he is on a low level that he needed the supernatural miracle. Again, God could have done it in a more natural way. You know, he could have had somebody come by and give him a million shekel, and then he'll have money to pay to buy as many wet nurses as he needs, right? There are so many easier ways to do it. And that's what Abaye is saying. Why? In addition to the points that we mentioned, paragraph Dalet, we're skipping a little because we want to finish up. Aval gam ze be'atzmo gera'on gadol hu. Kol zman she'adam mitzad atzmo hu kol kach shafel upa'ut. As long as a person is on such a childish level, again, when Am Yisrael was childish, at the beginning of Jewish history, we needed these supernatural miracles. But just like a child, Hashem wants to teach us independence, how to make our own decisions, how to work for a living, how to cross the street on our own. Like a good father, that's what he wants. He wants us to be like him. But this person apparently was on a childish level. This guy, if he is not given a supernatural miracle, you know what? Even if he was given a semi-natural or semi-miraculous miracle, it wouldn't have done the job for him. That's what Abaye is saying. He's on a low level. He has to be banged over the head with one punch. Right? If this guy, in order to be tuned into God, has to have God not be God, as if it were, then he's off. Right? He's not where he should be. Aval, hamigama hateora she'inimo geraon, the true goal, the pure goal, with no geraon, with no chisaron, how do you say? With no lacking. He sheyashuv halev letarativo. We should want to return to the purity of nature, to live in the natural world. Where God's will is your will. Paragraph A. Again, we have to finish up. Okay. In kol hagadlut shanu margishim benisim. As much as we like miracles, and again, the more childish a person is, the more naive he is, the more he likes miracles. En anu tzvichim lishkoach, ki rak nitpale aleihem, aval la'ahava nohav et ha'teva. Here, there's one of those quotable quotes where Rav Kook sums it up in a nutshell. He says, miracles, like prophecy, are good to get excited about, but we will love nature. Our love affair is with our regular wife. Day in, day out, nature. I have to mention that Rabbi Avram Shapira, one time when I was learning in Kiryat Arba, and there was only one bus like every 2 hours at the time. There weren't a lot of people in Kiryat Arba, and I just missed the bus. And the central bus station in Yerushalayim is right near Merkaz Harav. So I figured I'll go to Merkaz Harav. And Rabbi Avram Shapira was in the Beit Midrash. He was just leaving. So I said, well, this is a miracle, a natural miracle, that, you know, the great tzaddikim, great gedolei ador, wherever they go, they're followed around by chassidim or groupies or... So I said, hey, this is my opportunity. I have 2 hours. Let me be one of those guys who follows him around, you know, just to see... Anyway, at the end, I learned a lot of things. We don't have time to go into the things that... But at the end, I asked him for a bracha, and this is the best thing. He says, in Hebrew, he says, I bless you. He asked, what do you want? I said, I want to be a Talmid Chacham. So he says, I bless you that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give you twice as much as the effort that you put in.
Wow.
In other words, the obvious point is, it depends on what you invest. And yeah, you know, like Reb Moshe Feinstein once said to one of the young guys who was amazed at his memory, he said, if you would have reviewed a tour in Beit Yosef 200 times like I did, you'd know everything that I know. You know, it's a... I don't know if we know everything that he knows, but we'd be up there. And so, again, Rav Kook says, yeah, be activated by the miracles. That's what they're there for. But love nature. Why is nature so good? Et choka klali hatadiri. You know, I have a chavruta, Michael Arlen. He works in computers. And he gave me an unbelievable mashal, a parable. He said in computers, he writes a program. And the better the program is, the more it foresees all bugs and all challenges that could possibly arise. But he says, inevitably, there never was a person and there never was a computer program which is so perfect that foresaw and answered all of the bugs before they arose. That is the beauty of nature. Where Hashem created a world which is so perfect that everything is built in. Now, I have to mention here something that we learned in the past that Rav Kook talks about a lot. It's spelled out in Sefer HaChinuch, where if a person yells to Hashem for help, in all probability, Hashem is not going to send a million shekel into his bank accounts. But God is going to solve his problem by the fact that 3,300 years ago, he already commanded you and me to give this guy tzedakah. And Hashem, who is above time, he already foresaw this guy's problem. He already foresaw his prayers. And he already answered it, that you and I are supposed to be God's partners by following the Torah and answering the needs of each and every Jew. By the way, the same thing regarding fertility. The same thing regarding shiduchim, right? If a person knows that there are some people who are crying to God to find a soulmate, I guess that means that you and I should be looking to help set people up to make shiduchim, to be godly. That's in all probability how this person's prayer is going to be answered. And the same thing with giving charity, right? And the same thing with donating money for, okay, I'm not a doctor of fertility, but if I donate money to PUA, right, and I can help couples who have fertility problems, so I am being a partner with God to answer their prayers, right? So all of this is meant to be, God wants the world to be run based on the laws of nature and the Torah, as in the examples that I gave, the Torah that he gave 3,300 years ago, that should answer all the problems. Now, this guy is not enough for him, apparently, and it would not have been enough for him to have somebody pass by and volunteer to nurse his child, and that's why Abaye says. So, notice Rav Kook is spending more time on the nature is better opinion, because that is the more surprising opinion. That's the chidush here. Because everybody likes miracles.
Is there a maskan in the Gemara as to, you know, whose opinion we follow, like Abaye or Rav Yosef?
No, but as Rav Kook always says, there is truth in here, it's truth in here.
Right.
It all depends on you. Now, I know I, for sure, I imagine anybody who is listening to this class would like to be in the category of the stronger people, the emunah people, not in those weaklings and childish, immature. Those are not compliments, you know, to have immature belief.
It's the controversial, but you know, the Haredi view that the Beit HaMikdash is going to be built by just like coming down Shalem from Shemayim and dropping on Har Habayit as opposed to us building it.
Miracle
as opposed to hang on nature.
So the answer is, should the Beit HaMikdash come out of heaven or should we build it? That is already answered in the Torah, because it's one of the 613 mitzvot to build the Beit HaMikdash. Mm-hmm. You and I and the Jews for 2,000 years have been asking for Hashem to bring us the Beit HaMikdash, and he hasn't done it yet. So apparently that just drives home the point that much more that, hey, friend, open your eyes. It's in the Rambam. It's one of the 613 mitzvot. Build a Beit HaMikdash. Same thing with set up a Sanhedrin. That's one of the 613 mitzvot. Also, anoint a king. People are looking, if you want to look for Mashiach, you know, start doing genetic testing and looking for, start interviewing candidates. Well, let's do it according to the order. Once Am Yisrael is back in the land of Israel and the land is blooming, the next stage is supposed to be the Sanhedrin. We mentioned this Megillah Daf Yud Zayin very often. Let me just finish off. Okay, so we basically covered all of the main points. Let's just jump to the paragraph Vav. Vine. Vine. Yuchal adam liyok gadol bekochot na'alim ubal nefesh gedola umikol makom netiyotav ativiyot yupchutot ad shera'ui lem likabel roshem adir in order lihishtanot miyatzam tiva. Right? This person, obviously, and this explains those people, those of our friends, or maybe some of you, some of our participants, who have had semi, or maybe even supernatural miracles. So Rav Kook is saying, okay, if you got it, you got it. That means that was good for you. So that's also an answer to your question before. If you got it, that means, you know, Baruch Hashem, you have a friend upstairs and appreciate it and thank him. And, you know, that's what Halil on Yom Ha'atzmaut is for. That's why I mention every year on Sukkot, we should have in mind to also Halil for the turnaround victory of the Yom Kippur War. And, you know, we should appreciate when Hashem sends us these miracles. You know, don't say, I would prefer to not have had these miracles, right? Everyone would agree, once Hashem already sent it, so you got to appreciate it and utilize it to our benefit, right? That's the other side of the coin. Okay, so let me just finish up with a pasuk that finishes off. Vayar Elohim et kol asher asa, vine tov me'od. And again, there are so many commentaries on this pasuk, but you catch what Rav Kook is doing, a very unique, novel, innovative explanation, that God looked at all that he did in the past when he created the laws of nature, right? Vihine tov me'od. Hine is in the present. They are good. That's really the best in the present for us also. In other words, when God really changed the laws of nature by creating the laws of nature, that is what we should really utilize. And to summarize the main points, the advantages of nature over supernatural is that helps us be godly, that we acquire it on our own, we become partners with God. That is the way of chokhmah, of building it naturally. It is the way God meant for the world to be run. It's the idea that God foresaw everything and there are no bugs in the laws of nature. The idea of being independent, of being adult, right? The idea of, this is a point we don't have time to stress, that when God runs the world naturally, he is what's the word? Uniting. He is like a conductor in a symphony who is harmonizing together a million and one different factors. Right, we've given this example before. If you look at the Balfour Declaration, it was an unbelievably complicated how God arranged 20 different factors to work out to bring the recognition of the world, of the worlds, of the nations of the world, to have a Jewish state in the land of Israel. That's a lot more complicated than a one punch. Right? So when God works through nature, if you imagine it, it's not just that God foresaw everything and from the beginning, that we said before, but also that in the present, God is pulling the strings in a lot more complicated way than that one-punch miracle, right? This wet nurse would just happen to pass by, okay, that's one, you know, that's one-time thing, okay? The advantages of tadirut, of why in Judaism, consistency, and something on a regular basis, hatmada, is better. And those are the needs of both nature and miracles, but in the whole, we love nature.